Truth to Be Found is a ministry of the Middletown Church of God in Cable, Ohio. Join us as we journey into the Word of God in search of ultimate truth.
Well, praise the Lord for yet another year that we have to come and gather together, worship Him together, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We all have something very strong in common. That's the reason why the Old Testament spoke of this day when it says the lion shall lie down with the lamb. We have some lion people here this morning, meaning that people that are strong, that their characters are strong. We have the lambs this morning, that the people that in the natural world, they would be those who are preyed on. The lions would be the predators. But you know what? The Bible says there's a change that takes place. When we offer our hearts and our lives to the Lord, it changes us into all one people, that we all lie down together and that we all are at peace with one another. The Spirit of God is what brings us together and what holds us together in this special bond. Well, I'm excited about a new year. I don't know about you, but it's always a time that we can put behind us the things that we need to put behind us, and that we have goals in our minds that we have our eyes towards. And the Lord says, hit the mark this year. Hit the mark. Go for that goal. Set your priorities today and go for the goal that God would have you have, and your lives will be so much more complete when those goals are met. Well, this morning let's begin as we usually do. Follow along with me as I read. Open my eyes so that I can see your truth. Open my ears so that I can hear your voice. Open my mind so that I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I can receive all that you want me to receive. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we're thankful this morning that we have such a great God to come to, who is over all things. There's none greater than you. And we're so thankful that we have you, our great God, to come to worship and to pray to, and to trust in. As we look at this new year, Lord, we're thankful that you have everything in your control. And that we know that when we give things to you this year, which there's going to be many things we're going to need to give to you this year, we know, Lord, that you are answering them and fulfilling them to the very best of what they can be in our lives. Thank you for that, Lord. And now we ask you, Lord, in a smaller way, that you would come today, that you would be with us, that you would take this message and deliver it to each and every individual heart that's here according to what you want them to hear and to understand. Lord, we pray that I can get out of the way this morning so that everyone will see and hear your voice, and that when we leave today, we'll know we've been to church and we've heard our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you've seen this morning in your bulletins, like I spoke of, that I just love so much, today we're going to begin a new series that's entitled Sunday Edition. Can you imagine if the newspapers of today were up and running in the days of the Bible? Can you imagine what the journalists, how they would have a heyday with some of the stories, many of the stories that were in the Bible, and how they would write those stories out, and how they would sound as they came across the printing press. It's with this in mind that our next series is based. Sunday Edition will be each Sunday bringing us notable stories and events from the Bible with the headlines that only the journalists could have written. Headlines that can change your life. Today's headline, Jewish boy found. The search is over. Now, the story Sunday Edition will be reporting on today takes us some 12 years after the last three sermons that I've had on the Christmas story. It will be the only recorded accounts of Jesus' childhood. At this point in time, Jesus will be 12 years of age. He'll be what they considered back then an adult. You come to that age of 12 years old and you're adult. Young people here today say, yeah, I want to be an adult. No, you don't. But in that day, they were considered adults according to the law. They were responsible for the law at this age. And Jesus, by the way, as regarded as a man, and his journey to Jerusalem would be a special one for him and his parents. A little more special than what they thought it was going to be. And we're going to read that in our account, which is found in Luke, the second chapter, verses 41 through 52. I would like to make a note before we begin. Since we are reading the old scriptures and making them journalistically for today, we're going to be doing this entire series in the NLT translation, the New Living Translation. And we're going to be reading this morning from Luke, the second chapter. I'm going to begin with verses 41 and 42. Verse 41 and 42 of Luke, the second chapter. And it reads, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. Now, every adult male was expected to attend the three festivals that they had that were important festivals in Jerusalem within a 15-mile radius. In other words, within 15 miles, you were expected, if you were male, to be to all these festivals that they had. Now, right off the bat, you're going to say, wow, I bet they were really bummed out about that. Especially if this festival, the Passover festival, that's not at all the way they looked at it. This was a great privilege. And they saw this as a great privilege. They were excited. These men were excited, so excited. The women weren't even required to attend these festivals. But many times the women came along with them, with the children. They all wanted to be a part of this. It was special. It was about their God. And they believed and they lifted up their voices to their God. Of course they wanted to be at these festivals. Worldwide, every Jewish male usually made a promise that at one time, no matter where they were in the world, they would try to attend this Passover festival at some time in their life. That's how important this was. This became a bucket list for these males. No matter where they lived, the farthest from Jerusalem, they said, one day I'm going to be there for that festival. And they looked forward to that. As we learned in our Christmas sermons, Joseph and Mary were two people who were highly esteemed by God. Now, this gave them not only this great honor, but it also gave them responsibility to raise God's son, the Messiah. What a great responsibility that would be, but it wouldn't come without challenges either. One of those challenges would be to be a blended family. That's right. We're talking all the way back in Jesus' day. Did you know Jesus was a part of a blended family? Because they started off knowing, both of them, Jesus was not Joseph's biological son. Joseph and Mary both knew this, so we can see the challenge that it started off with right then. You know, Mary, she told Joseph the truth. Hey, the angel came. Joseph even had a vision. But this had to be difficult at times. It had to bring its challenges at times when Jesus was growing up. And the first thing you're going to say is, well, how difficult could it be to understand and believe this when you have a young boy that's performing all these miracles? No, 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 no. That's not the way that it was. Not the way the Bible says. The Bible tells us Jesus didn't perform his first miracle until he was 30 years of age. To be more specific, at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And they ran out of wine and Mary said, Jesus, do what you can. And he filled all the the jars up with water and turned them into the best wine they'd ever had. So this was the first miracle. If you want to back that up, we're going to find that in John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. That's where the entire story takes place. Read it this week. It's interesting. It's Jesus' first miracle. But what I'm going to back that up with is in the 11th verse of that chapter. John, the second chapter, verse 11 says, "This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time that Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed." So we get the picture there that when Jesus was growing up, he was like any other boy in many, many aspects. I mean, when he was, it wasn't like he was doing miracles right and left, and it was easy to believe. Joseph had to believe in his heart that all these things were true that Joseph had heard and had believed. They were both people of faith. And one of the ways that they showed that they were people of faith is they lifted out in Scripture that they were faithful to attend the temple. They were faithful in that. And by this, we can understand what the Bible thinks is faithfulness in believers. And how would that translate to us? God sees faithful people when they attend His church on the Lord's Day. That's what He sees as faithfulness. Look into the Scriptures and it'll tell you, do not fail. Do not fail to attend God's house on the Lord's Day. It tells us that in the Scriptures. Suppose the Lord was to return. We know the Lord's going to return. If you believe that, say amen. We know the Lord's going to return. Suppose the Lord returns between 9:30 in the morning and 12 o'clock noon on a Sunday. Where are you going to be? I want you to really think about that, because how difficult would that be? Now, I'm sure there's going to be many people who are going to say, well, I had this to do and that to do, and we know that. There's times we can't be at church. We know that. But suppose you just decided, not today. The sky opens and the Lord returns. How are you going to explain that? As a matter of fact, the Lord had questions, not me. Not the believers, the Lord had questions what He would find when He returns. He wondered if there would really be anybody with faith when He returned. More and more now today, we see people don't care about the Bible. People don't care about church. They're just not interested in that. They've got more exciting things to do. They want to be here. They want to be there. Listen to what the Lord said Himself in Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 8. The latter part of that says, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will He find on the earth who have faith? That's Jesus' words. I wonder how many that I'll find who are really faithful. Are you? That's something to really ask about, isn't it? Let's go to verses 43 through verse 45. After the celebration was over, in other words, they had completed the celebration. The Passover had been completed and everybody was packing up. You all know what it's like when people pack up and they head home and everything. There's a lot of confusion. They started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss Him at first because they assumed that He was among the other travelers. But when He didn't show up that evening, they started looking for Him among their relatives and their friends. When they couldn't find Him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for Him there. Well, first of all, we need to understand how something like this could happen. Here's how normally this happened when the festivals were over. The women would get together, the group that they had, probably mostly of the women. A lot of times the children went with them as well. And they packed up and they left and they headed home. The men stayed behind for a while. The women usually traveled slower than what the men did. So most generally, the men would let the women head out, and then the men would come later. So they packed up their stuff, and they headed out. You're beginning to see, aren't you, how this mistake was made. Because when Joseph packed up and got all the men together, looked around, probably didn't see Jesus, thought he was where? He thought he was with his mom. He left with the mom. Okay, the mom, they're well on their way by now. Jesus isn't there. Where does she think that he is? He thinks he's with Joseph, coming behind. It wasn't until that evening, which the men would eventually catch up with the women, and they would set camp, and they would camp that night before they went home, on their way home. It was then that they found out somebody was missing. Sorry about that. Then they would find out that someone was missing. You can only imagine the panic that set in when Joseph and Mary looked around and said, "Have we misplaced Jesus?" I mean, it's one thing to lose your child. It would be compounded to know that he's God's son. What have we done? We have misplaced Jesus. Well, you all know by now, being the reporter that I have to be during this series, I can't pass that up and not put a spiritual spin on this and ask you, have you misplaced Jesus? Have you misplaced him in your life? Have you ever misplaced something? Of course you have. We all have. You're certain that it's not lost. You just can't find it. Now keep in mind your thoughts about Christ. Now you don't know that there is a real problem until you need what you've misplaced, right? You don't even know it's gone until you miss it. So what do? Well, you have to retrace your steps to discover where you left it. Now let me ask you some questions. I have a few questions here this morning. How far would you have to travel before you realize that you misplaced Jesus in your life? How long would you really go in your life before you realize Jesus wasn't there? Are you certain that he's here with you now? When you leave here today, are you certain that he's going with you? When was the last time that you felt that you really needed him? Is your life laid out in a way that you can really go on without the Lord? That each day, really, you wouldn't notice it if he was there or not. Is that how your life is laid out? Or have you set your life up to where every day you would know right off the bat if the Lord wasn't there? Perhaps some people think that they don't need Jesus. Maybe you think that you're smart enough or strong enough on your own. Now, here's what a lot of people do. A lot of people save Jesus for the big stuff. You ever heard people say that? Well, I don't really need Jesus in the normal things of life, but when something big pops up, yeah, I need him. I'm going to give you a little hint on something. The big things start out as small things. We need Jesus Christ in our life in all that we do. There's other ways we misplace Jesus. By indifference. And some of you might say, how can you really be indifferent from the Lord? Well, it's when God does things differently than what you think they should have been done. There's a lot of people that are fighting with God right now. A lot of people who have put him on the back burner because they're punishing God because he didn't answer a prayer that they thought needed to be answered. Or it was answered in a way that they did not agree with. They're indifferent from the Lord. And therefore, they purposely don't have him in their life. Well, how about you're in a hurry? How many of you are busy? Busy, busy, busy. I get busy a lot of times. I get in a hurry. We have to be careful that our life in the fast lane doesn't leave Jesus behind. How about taking him for granted? Because sometimes we take the Lord for granted. We don't recognize him for the wonderful things that he's done and is doing in our lives. We don't recognize the way that he protects and loves and cares for our families. We just take that for granted. We expect that. That's kind of what happened to Joseph and Mary when you think about it. They took for granted something that they should have made sure of. You know, as a church, we have to be certain. Every one of us, not just the leaders up here, every one of us have to be certain that the Lord is in the things that we do here at church. We have to be certain that he's in the Sunday school, the teachers, and the classes, in what we're teaching and how we're teaching. We have to make sure that he's there in our worship service, when we're singing, when we're celebrating, when we're rejoicing. We have to make sure Jesus is at the head of that. We have to make sure that Jesus is even in our giving. Are we giving with loving hearts, with open hearts, wanting to give, wishing we could give more, celebrating what we are able to do through our giving? And you know what? We have to make sure that the Lord is in our messages. What's being preached? I trust each and every Sunday that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts and lives while I'm up here speaking. I pray for that. And I pray right now that God is right now touching your heart, opening your lives and your eyes to what God is trying to teach. Too often, we want Jesus to be where we are rather than us being where he is. Like a cordless phone. How many of you have those in your home? A cordless phone. It has a base and you take it off and you get to walking around and all of a sudden it starts to crackle and everything. That means you're getting out of distance. You're getting out of the distance of the phone and you have to be careful because you'll lose your signal. That describes some people who have wandered too far from God. Amen? They're no longer getting the signal. They're no longer receiving the insights that the Lord usually gives them, the guidance, the direction. And they wonder, where's God? Where did he go? He didn't go anywhere. We've wandered too far away. There was a certain old man who lived alone, deep in the mountains of Colorado. When he died, distant relatives came from the city to collect his valuables. Upon arriving, they all saw that an old shack with an outhouse beside it. Inside the shack was old cooking pots, a cracked table, and some old mining equipment. There was a kerosene lamp and a threadbare quilt that was laying on top of a dilapidated cot. They picked up some of the old relics that were laying around the shack and they started to leave. And as they were driving off, an old friend of the old man came towards them on a mule and he asked, "Do you mind if I help myself to what's left in my friend's cabin?" that we've been friends for years. I hated to see the loss. Do you mind? They said, go ahead. After all, they thought, what in this old rundown shack could there possibly be that was worth anything? The old friend entered the shack and walked directly over to the table. He reached down under the table and he lifted up the floorboards. And then he proceeded to take out all the gold his friend had discovered over the past 53 years, literally enough to build a palace. As the friend looked out the little window and watched the cloud of dust behind the relative's car disappear, he said, they should have gotten to know him better. As Christians, we are responsible for maintaining and developing our individual relationship with Christ. When you die, don't let anyone stand at your casket and say, he should have gotten to know them better. Don't let anybody say that about you and your relationship with God. Today, maybe you said, in the past, I've had difficult times. We're putting that behind us today. We're moving forward. This is going to be the year that we search out, that we seek out the Lord, and in every way that we can, we find new opportunities to serve Him in this community. Better ways to make worship and study available in this church. We have great goals for the year ahead. And you all want to be a part of that, because it's going to be special. Something that you will remember. This time next year, we want to look back and we want to say, what a year! What a year that was! I hope we can have a year like this year. That's what we're looking forward to in this year to come. Let's move on. Verses 46 through 48. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. His parents didn't know what to think. You can imagine. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. Now, I just want to toss this over to you moms a little bit this morning. Remember when your kid would stand in the middle of the clothes at the department store? They'd climb through the clothes and they would stand up on the little shell that held the clothes around. They would duck down and they would wait. They would wait to find, to hear, where are you? And then frantic would set in. Oh, what's happened? I think there was a commercial or something on there not long ago that depicted that same thing, where they're going frantic and there he stands in the middle of the clothes. But we can get and really feel what Mary was saying. She said, really? Really? And you know what? There are going to be times, and this passage of scripture, these two verses that I read, I just simply wanted to convey this. 2015 is not going to be without times that you're going to be frantic. You know, part of being a successful Christian is planning, preparing, knowing that there's going to be difficult times in my life this coming year. There's going to be times that I'm going to be frantic, that I'm not going to know what to do. I'm not going to know how to handle things. So plan now what you're going to do in those times. Plan now that the first place you're going to go is at the feet of Jesus. Will you do that? Promise me that. That when I run into difficult situations and times that I'm uncertain, that I feel panicked this next year, I'm falling down immediately to the feet of Jesus, saying, Lord, I need you. Please come and help me now. I'm going to have a successful year if that's what you plan to do. Because God will make sure of it that this year is a great year. Even if we learn to trust Him a little more than what we do now, sometimes a lot more, but our trust is going to increase if we will seek Jesus during these uncertain times. We too will find peace and comfort in our lives. Okay, let's finish up with verses 49 through 52. Verses 49 through 52. But why did you need to search? I want you to remember this, okay? Jesus' first words out were, why did you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? Jesus is telling them right then, I went to where I found protection and knew I would be taken care of, in my Father's house. I want for you to look to this place as a refuge. A place that when you're going through difficult times, that people can ask you, where did you go? I was in the place where I knew my Father was taking care of me. A place that symbolized that in my life. But they didn't understand what He meant. A lot of the things they didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend what He meant when He said, and this is one of them. Then He returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and His mother stored all these things in her heart. In other words, she remembered all these things. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. These words must have floored both Joseph and Mary, didn't they? When the first words out of His mouth is, why did you need to search? Now, let's understand, there was 100,000 people there, milling around, getting ready to go, trying to get things put together, doing their different things. Plus, there was the residents of Jerusalem at that time. They were on the streets. They were involved. So Joseph and Mary were going around. They were searching. Have you seen a little boy about this height? This, going around to different shops and different things like that. Finally, it tells us that they went to the temple and there they found Him. And Jesus said, why did you need to search? You should have known where I would be. Now, why was this significant? Because did you see the way that Mary addressed Him? Myself and your Father were so worried about you. He stepped up and He said, I'm in the house of my Father. Something significant took place at this particular time in Jerusalem. I believe, along with many others, that this is when Jesus fully understood and realized who He was. That through this meeting, through the things that went on, it became clear to Him, I'm the Son of God. My Father is in heaven, not here. He fully understood during this time. This is a earth-shaking time. And it needed to be lifted out. We too, we can relate as we have found ourselves searching for the answers to life and meaning in various places. Can you honestly today say that there's times that you have found yourself searching in places other than the Lord for understanding, for wisdom, for answers? And then all of a sudden you realize, why am I going to these places when I can go to the Lord? Jesus was found in the place where He was under the watchful care of his father in the temple. It's a wonderful story because it tells of our human frailty and weakness, while on the spiritual side, Jesus makes it clear that his father is the God in heaven. Mark this time because this is important in the life and in the history of Jesus' life here on earth. It's a story that centers around the greatest purpose, spiritually speaking, on heaven and earth, seeking and finding Jesus. That's what this whole text was about, finding Jesus. I know it was a literal meaning for them, but it was meant to be spiritual for us. Finding Jesus in our life, really finding Him. Verse 51 went on to say, I want to break in there. It tells us a little bit and gives us a little insight for the young people. Young people, if you're here this morning, listen to what Jesus did. Listen to how Jesus handled this situation. Now he knows who he is. I'm the Son of God. So how am I going to handle that? Listen to what he did. Verse 51 says, then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. What did he do? He returned with his parents and was obedient. That was important to Jesus. His family life was important. His obedience was important. At this time, there were other children that were involved in this family. And they too had to have been wondering around where Jesus was, what's going on. So the fact of the matter was, are we finding Jesus in our life this morning? I don't think it would be complete without reading Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3, showing them His obedience, going home with them, being obedient to them. Look what he says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3. We've read this many times before. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That's why. Kids, you know who you belong to. You've been going to church all of your life. You know, I belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. It wasn't only because your mom and dad said, it wasn't because of this or that. The Bible's telling you it's the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Very important for the young people to hear this message today because our families are falling apart. We have the parents that are telling the kids that are telling the parents what to do. All of our roles in the family are messed up. We're finding ourselves in complete, utter chaos at our homes. And the Bible gives us some good structure that molds families together. He goes on to say, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. This was with a promise. We know that this talks about our obedience and how important that it is. It keeps us safe. It keeps us knowing what to do. Well, we're coming close to the end of this first Sunday edition. The Jewish boy was found. The search is over, but can we say that for your life? Is the search over for your life? You know, I've heard people say before, how do I know that I'm saved? How do I know? I don't want to go to the grave not knowing which way I'm going. How do I know that I'm saved? Here's some helpful scriptures. The way Joseph and Mary could have known that they had Jesus is what? If they saw him. If they knew he was there, if they saw Jesus, instead of taking for granted that he was just there, that he's going to follow, he's going to be there. Why? Because I'm there. He's going to follow. He didn't. What that story tells us is you can't simply know and believe that Jesus is in your life if he's not seen in your life. Other people should know Jesus is in your life. I'm going to go against a lot of people today, a lot of teachers today that say, you know what, you just know a person's heart. You don't, their actions, you can't judge whether a person's saved by their actions. You can only judge it because it's in their heart. But this text tells us you should be able to see Jesus in a person's life. Amen? Here's some scriptures that will help us here. Can people really see Jesus in my life? That's the question. Number one, they can see Jesus in your life by your attitude. The big A. Attitude has a lot to do with a person's life and what a person sees in your life. Look at Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5. Doesn't this say that there? You must have the same attitude that Jesus had. What was Jesus' attitude? It goes on in verses 6 through 8 and tells us that. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. In other words, he knew who he was, but that didn't change who he was here. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. How did Jesus' attitude show who he was? By how he lived out his life. Humility. Humility. If you want to see Christ in a person's life, you're going to see humility. The opposite of what? Pride. Pride is a killer in the life of an individual. It causes us to do things that we will always regret. Sometimes things we've done for prideful reasons have affected us our entire life. It's had a fallout like a bomb. When people look at you, do they see humble obedience? Do they like the way that you obey God and you make that known, I obey the Lord? Or do they see rebellious pride? Secondly, do they see a changed life? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Did they see that in you? Did people come up and make statements of, you know what? There's been a real change with you. You're a real different person. Or do they say the deadly phrase? This is a deadly phrase for a Christian. Do they say, oh, you started going to church? When? I didn't know that. What does that say? I didn't see a change. I didn't notice anything different in your values and the Lord being first in your life. I didn't even know that you were a church-going person. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Can people see that there's been a change in your life from the person that you've always been? Number three, this is what goes through and goes against so much teaching today. You can see you're saved through your actions. You can see you're saved through your actions. Look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 19 through 26. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 19 through 26. When you follow these desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. In other words, they're plain to see. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that, now listen up, this isn't me, this is the Bible, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Bible. That's Bible. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. Are these things in your life? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. It's just giving us a picture there of what people should be seeing in our lives and how we act out in our lives. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, are we living by the Spirit? Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And finally, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. That's a list right there. If you want to say, you know what, I don't know how people can see Christ in my life, get this list out, mark them down, write them down, take them up to a friend or a coworker and say, which one of these lists best identifies me? Tell me on that list which one of them I am. Would you be daring enough to do that? But that's exactly what it's saying. The way we live, the way we act says a lot about whether they'll find Jesus in our life. And finally, number four, through your relationships. We find this in 1 John, the second chapter, verses 9 through 11. 1 John, the second chapter, verses 9 through 11. It reads, if anyone claims I am living in the light but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. It can't get much clearer than that. And I can't make it much clearer. The Bible has given us the illustration. Have you found Jesus? Joseph and Mary went and searched until they found Jesus. Have you done the same in your life? Well, this concludes our Sunday edition. The Jewish boy is found. The search is over. And I hope we can say the same for your life. Let's stand. As we begin a new year, let's put our hope and our trust and our faith in the Lord this morning, and let's set ourselves in that direction. This year, this is what we're going to do. As a family, our roles are going to be identified by Scripture. My life's going to be identified by Scripture. I won't be afraid to ask someone, how do you think I live? More like a Christian or more like a sinner? This is important stuff. And a good way to start our year. Let's just make sure that, like Joseph and Mary, we found Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had to spend together, and we thank you for these hearts who have been opened and receptive. And they're always, Lord, so ready and willing to receive your word. And we pray now, Lord, that you will give them a very special blessing for this. Guide and direct our lives, Lord, and let us to know how much you appreciate the fact that we find our comfort, we find our protection in the house of the Lord, because it identifies with you. And thank you, Lord, for all those who will be so who will be so patient this year, who will be so dedicated and faithful to coming into the house of the Lord and to supporting your work and your will. Go with us now, Lord. And anyone who has not found Jesus in their life today, we pray that their search will be over as well. Lead, guide, and direct us, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We turn to page 270.
Wonderful time of the year, and a lot of people feel the same way, because it's a new start. It gives us a time of the year when we can put what's behind us and look forward to what's ahead. Let's start it out right. Let's make sure this morning that each and every individual here has found Christ in their life. They know for sure Jesus come back today. You know exactly where they're going. We should know that. As believers, we should know that without a doubt. The Holy Spirit bears witness and should be bearing witness with us right now. And I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is dealing with hearts this morning, simply letting you know where you stand. He does that. If He was to come back today, would this entire church be taken up with Him? That's the question. And I'm going to let the Lord answer that. Thank you very much, and let's continue to sing and open our hearts up to the Lord.
This message has been brought to you by the Middletown Church of God in Cable, Ohio. Senior Pastor Robert Enstein. Assistant Pastor John Enstein. Online at truthtobefound.org.